teaching at the Festival of Booths, following up on the first portion of that chapter that we discussed the previous week. And I mean, I had pretty clearly settled in my mind the direction of today's message to be on John 7, only to discover that in my journey preparation, that I felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit to go kind of a different place today. So Lord willing, we'll return to John 7 in a couple weeks, but as for today and next week, I believe I should focus our thoughts on the ministry of True Life Church and the scorecard that we use in determining if we are on track with God's will or not in terms of the ministry that we conduct here. So let me take a couple moments to kind of lay out for you the journey that I've been on, that kind of precipitated the change of topic discussion, and let us consider how we as a church are doing in the work that God has called us to do, not only as a corporate body of believers, but I also want to extend that challenge to you personally. How's the walk with God going? How are you doing at using the spiritual gift that He has given you to minister to others? How is that going for you? Are you finding yourself being successful and reaching out and touching the lives of other people? I just love the prayer time in the sense that I heard a number of names of people beyond the walls of the church that this church is concerned about, people in this body are concerned with, that you're praying for them, you're reaching out to them, you're identifying their needs, and you're reaching out to meet those needs, and I commend that. This week, as I prepared for the advisory board meeting of our church, I thought a lot about 2016, where we've been in the last year, and I thought a lot about the future, 2017, and what direction we're going. I also went back into the archives of my mind and reminisced over the reasons why in 2010 that we determined that we ought to continue to assemble here as a body of believers under a new name, True Life Church. And as I reflected on the reasons why we decided it better to exist as a church rather than to join into other ministries in the valley, a myriad of questions flooded my mind about who we are, what we're doing, and how we're doing it. I asked myself, what is the driving motivation for being a local church? What is our purpose in gathering together here each week? Why do we make an investment of our time and our talents and our treasures to keep the doors of this local church open? For what reason am I? For what reason are you associated with True Life Church? It's their ownership by the majority of the people that attend here. Is there an ownership of the purpose for which we exist as a church? Is there an ownership of the mission that we have as a church? Or do we kind of have a take it or leave it attitude? I'm here when I can be, I'm not here when I don't need to be, and just kind of a lackadaisical attitude towards the mission and vision. Do the members of True Life Church feel True Life Church is contributing to their spiritual well-being as Christ followers? As you look at your at our church, do you feel like that we are being of spiritual benefit to you, that we're helping you in your journey with God, that we are helping you to mature in Christ, that we are helping you to take the gifts that you have been given by God and using them for His honor and glory? Do the members of True Life feel that the True Life ministry opportunities are worth our investment of resources and talents to enhance the church's ministry, not only within the walls of the church, but to enhance the ministry beyond the walls of the church? See, I told you there was just a lot of thinking going on this week in my office as all of these questions just kind of nipped at my heels as I tried to assess where we are at, what we are doing, and how well we're doing it. I then had a friend this week ask me a question. He said, "Kent, how is your church doing?" And that led me to think about the fact that the church, it's not my church. It doesn't belong to me. The church is God's church. It's the Lord's church. And He has entrusted us, not just me personally, but us corporately, to be stewards of this thing called True Life Church and the ministry in which we've been called to. This further turned the cogs in my thinking about True Life Church and our ministry together as it prompted me to journey back to our roots, my roots, with this congregation. When I was called to join on here as pastor, we, the church, prayed a lot about and talked a lot about the ministry of True Life Church and what it should look like and what it should act like. We sought God for a clear understanding of what we should focus on and emphasize in the True Life ministry. We knew from the outset that the True Life ministry would be a pioneering ministry, a ministry where we were starting with just a handful. We were a small group, an aging group of believers without the ability to offer many bells and whistles as a ministry. I mean, think about this. You had to suffer with me on many occasions, leading music with music videos because we lacked the opportunity to provide a live worship service, and you stuck with it. You're a brave and a patient people, to be sure. We understood if the church was going to make a dent in the spiritual climate of our community, it would be God who would have to raise up the army to make it happen, because we did not have those talents, skills, and abilities in ourselves as we decided to journey on with the Lord. With all this in mind, we chose the name True Life Church because it reflected the attitude and spirit of what we felt God had called us to do and be as a people. It emphasized our desire to have as a dominant characteristic within our church a focus on being authentic with God in our relationship with Him, authentic with each other in our relationships with each other, to follow the leading of God even when we didn't understand why God was leading us in a specific direction. It was our commitment that our spiritual compass would be set on faithfulness. We were led of God to commit ourselves to being a caring and praying community of believers. These were all reasons why we determined that God wanted us to continue on as a local body of believers. Some of the notes that I jotted down during the discussion with advisory board members and the church family back in the mid-2010 were this. As a church, we will seek to develop a clear understanding of what the Word of God teaches, and we would faithfully teach God's Word in spite of social popularity. And I remember having that discussion two or three times with my friend Bob Weaver as we would sit at Pin and Q for breakfast and we would discuss the vision for True Life Church and what we would do. In my discussion with others, we said we will seek to live authentic Christian lives by adjusting our lives to conform to the teaching of God's Word. In other words, we would love each other through prayer. We would love each other with our words, building one another up, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, realizing that none of us are perfect. We all fail and one trips and stumble. It is not our job to jump on their backs, but it's our job to offer a hand and to help them up and to rekindle that walk in enthusiasm for God once again. We said that with our deeds, we would honor one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Third, we talked about seeking to advance the love of God and the love of Christ in our community, the gospel, offering ourselves as servants and supporting good organizations that make our community a great place to be. And as I thought about how aptly illustrated that is by Dale and Jack and their various community involvement with Meals on Wheels, Dream Ski, Hospital, Volunteer, Food Bank, Gideon's, and how that reflects many of you as you are engaged as Christ servants, not only within the body of Jesus Christ here, but you take those skills and abilities that God has given you and you let them out on others beyond the walls of the church. In short, we felt that we should be a church who would seek to make it real with God corporately and individually, both in the church and beyond the walls of the church. So those were some of our aspirations. Those were some of our goals. Those were some of the things that we determined that we'd like to do and be as a church. And through the first couple years of development of True Life Church, we kind of synthesized the various values we shared as believers into a type of motto, which I believe articulates and summarizes the heart of our ministry. We said we will be a body of believers who do the right thing for the right reason with the right heart. And that encapsulated kind of the overall umbrella attitude. And the reason we kind of laid that out, doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart, was because we recognize that this ministry here at True Life Church is His work for His glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. And so again, this was driven by the Holy Spirit bearing witness with the spirit of members of this church as we decided to continue on. So thinking about our church in preparation for the advisory board meeting this week and searching my heart to measure whether we are being successful in ministry as a True Life Church, kind of John 7 kind of made its way out of the focus of my study as these other things became more predominant. And as I contemplated these things for those two reasons, I then received from the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the Rocky Mountain District, a request for two reports. One was an annual report focused on me and my professional development on the pastor. Every year, the Rocky Mountain District sends us a little form that we fill out that indicates, how are we doing as a pastor? How is our walk with God going? What are the things we are doing for professional development? And basically, I responded to a series of questions where I reported on how I've advanced in my spiritual life and things that I've done to develop my professional skills during the course of the year. Some of the questions dealt with what books have I read, what training opportunities have I taken or availed myself to in order to increase my knowledge and to improve what I can do and be used by God for in our church. Now, the second report is one where the Rocky Mountain District asks me, how is the church doing? How are we prospering as a local body of believers? It is a report that requires stuff like attendance numbers. Have they increased or decreased? What were our offerings in the past year? Are we meeting budget? How many conversions have occurred as a result of our ministry? Number of baptisms that we perform? What is the amount of our giving to missions? How are we advancing the church's ministry in the community? And then there were some questions about our building and property and so on. And this report is designed for me to be accountable as the pastor and us as a congregation back to the Rocky Mountain District of how effective are we being used by God in terms of touching the lives of people. Now, both of these types of evaluations, professional development, church development, I've done annually each year, whether I've been required of the church I've been involved with or not. I'm a believer that it's important to measure whether we are impacting people within our church ministry and in the community in the way that we believe that God has called us to move forward. So as I pondered the questions of the CMA, God's Spirit kept pushing me to think of things through about the week. So between the CMA, the advisory board member, all my thought processes were on the scorecard of ministry. I keep evaluating, how are we doing as a church? How am I doing as a pastor? And are we doing what God wants us to do? Then to make things a little more pronounced and maybe a little more complicated in this assessment period, I meet with a group of 6 to 7 pastors each month for about 4 to 6 hours in what we call a pastoral growth group. These are all CMA pastors, and we share our personal burdens of ministry. We pray for each other's family. We discuss ministry challenges that people outside the ministry may not be able to relate to that we go through in the ministry. And we spend time sharpening each other's thinking in regard to the ministry by reading books or watching videos and then discussing the context or the content of the book or the video and how it relates to our personal walk or how it may relate to our overall church ministry as God challenges us in various areas of our life. And in all my years, I've never been surrounded by such a great group of pastors who genuinely care about each other's personal walk with God and care about each other's ministry. It's really a delightful place to be, to know that you stand shoulder to shoulders with others who seek to dedicate themselves and the ministry to God. In this group, we have been reading a book that overtly challenges the traditional thinking on how we should measure ministry success. Now, all of this on top of all these other things that I've shared with you, you know, with the advisory board and with the CMA and the reports, and now I come to this meeting with the pastors, and in this book we've been reading, we're challenged on the traditional thinking on how to measure ministry. You see, the book challenged us to look past statistics and to evaluate ourselves and our church ministry by a standard that is perhaps a bit more difficult to quantify. Are we touching people's lives in a significant way? That was what we were challenged to think about. Personally, corporately, you personally as people in the congregation, are our lives touching other people in a significant way? This led us to a discussion of how do you measure whether you are making a difference in somebody else's life or not? One of the premises of the book is that you can have church growth, in other words, statistical measurement of success, without having spiritual success, an intrinsic measurement. The thought was an external metric, such as increased number, may only reflect that we have a good marketing strategy, not that we are necessarily being successful in impacting anybody's lives for Christ. So the statistical measurement may give us a false sense of success if our real goal is to impact people's lives with the gospel. So as we discussed the ministry scorecard of success, a couple thoughts came to the surface in the discussion as it relates to various matrices that we can use to measure whether we are successful in ministering to people. The discussion centered around, since statistical analysis may fall short, is that external growth may not necessarily reflect that we are doing well in touching lives. The matrix that helps us define spiritual effectiveness is our people gaining ground in their walk with God. So, do statistics actually measure the impact of the church is having on the lives of people? It may give us a little bit of a clue that we're touching more people, but is it really telling us whether people are spiritually better off by being part of True Life Church? If a person is not prospering under our ministry as a church, does the statistics indicate who is responsible for the non-growth? Is it a failure on the part of the church ministry? Or is it a failure on the part of the individual who has developed a hard-heartedness or an aloofness from God? In other words, is it the proverbial, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? Or is it that we're not getting them to the watering hole? Which of those is the real issue as we look at our ministry? Does the statistical analysis help us understand whether we are serving as Christ's light in our community by improving the emotional, physical, and spiritual climate in our community? Does the statistical analysis help us measure whether we are helping the downtrodden, whether we are respected as spiritual leaders in our community, which could be at work or an organization that we serve in voluntarily beyond the walls of the church? Are we helping families that are in crisis? Are we supporting and comforting hurting people? Are we being a positive community testimony through our actions and our attitudes and our openness in presenting the gospel? Two thoughts that challenged me through this discussion period with these pastors. First, one pastor made this comment. He says, "I've been challenging myself recently with a question when I pick up my Bible to read it." He said, "When I go to read my Bible, I'm asking myself, am I reading today because I have to or because I want to? Because I have to or because I want to?" To me, first, I love the fact that I associate with pastors who are all in for wanting a deeper relationship with God and are not afraid to admit they are struggling with letting the professional routines of the ministry sometimes interfere with their personal walk with God. And this became a way by which this man said, "I'm doing some safety checks here as to why I approach the Word of God." What this pastor was saying is, "I want to read the Bible based on its on an intrinsic desire and motivation for personal spiritual growth. I don't want to simply read for intellectual advancement or because reading the Bible is a spiritual hoop that is demanded of my job description. I want God's truth to influence how I live my life, what I value, what I think, and how I act toward God. I don't want the reading of God's Word to be a spiritual task, part of the job description or my duty to my congregation. I want my Bible reading to be Christ-centered, that helps me in my relationship with God. I don't want it to become simply a duty that I check Bible reading off my priority list for the day." And as I thought about this pastor's presentation, it caused me to question other areas of the Christian life as well. In my Christian service duty, is it people-centered or is it Christ-centered? Is it Christian service duty or is it Christ-centered? Do I come to church because I believe God will speak to me through His Holy Spirit? Are you here today because you believe that God wanted you to hear something that would be helpful to your walk with God today? Are you here today because you wanted to bless God through singing songs that contain truth about God with the family of God, to corporately praise His name? Did you come to offer your praise to the Lord here this morning? Or did you come to church because church is what we do on Sundays? Did you come to church today realizing that God has gifted each person with some type of spiritual gift, and He intends for us to take that gift and be part of His fingerprints in somebody else's lives to encourage them, to exhort them, to help them, to come alongside of them, to assist them in becoming what God wants them to be? Why did we come here today? Is it that we check off our spiritual duty list? Or is it because we believe that God wants to speak to us? We believe that we are truly worshiping the Lord when we gather together and join our voices in song to exalt Him. And we really believe that God wants to use us individually in each other's lives to strengthen the body of Christ and the testimony of Christ in this community. Why are we here? See, the metrics is external. I can put it on the checklist. I went to church this week. Or it can be internal, intrinsic, is that I came to give an offering to God today of myself, my heart, my spirit, my talents, my goals. I came to worship Him. Are we doing it for God's glory? Here is the point of the discussion. Statistical analysis measures outward appearance, indicating maybe that we're doing the right thing. But it does not measure whether we're doing it for the right reason and with the right heart. And that's what God's concerned about. Because He knows if our heart is right and our reasons are right, the right thing is the fruit of the matter, not the focus of the matter. As I thought about this concept, the communion verse that came back to mind to me is 1 Corinthians 11:28. But a man must examine himself. See, our calling as defined in a biblical model is that doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart is what God has called us to do. This does not mean that if we are doing the right thing for the wrong reason, that we quit doing the right thing. What it means is that when we realize we're doing the right thing, but it's not necessarily for the right reason or with the right heart, we're to adjust our heart to conform to the heart of God. We don't quit doing the right thing. We adjust our spirit to parallel that which is the Spirit of Christ, and we seek the filling of the Holy Spirit to change our perspective. We are to get on board with God and His will. A second pastor during our discussion offered a thought that helped clarify for me the difference between external measurement and internal measurement. He said, "Don't ask me how many books I have read. Ask me what are the two most important challenging thoughts that I received in reading those books. How has it impacted me in my thinking? How has it impacted me and my ministry?" Almost sounds like make it real, doesn't it? It's that it's not about just the showing up and the reading. It's about the personal internal interaction we have with the thoughts. Therefore, I was reaffirmed in my spirit through these discussions that I don't want our church to simply become bean counters in the ministry. In other words, successful ministry is measured by, do we have more heads to count in the church service this year than we did last year? Did we have more programs to offer this year than we did last year? Did our offering totals go up? Did we give more to missions and so on? Don't get me wrong. I think we need to use these statistics as part of our self-assessment as a church. However, once we've looked at the statistics, we need to peel back the layers of the artichoke, so to speak, in order to get to the heart of the matter. So all this has led me full circle to True Life Church and looking at who we are and what we are striving for in our ministry. First, I had to ask myself, am I a True Life Christ follower? As Kent Morrison, not Pastor Kent, not Reverend Kent, but as Kent Morrison, is Jesus Lord of my life? Is His will the most important thing to me personally? Am I a Christ follower in what I do? And secondly, to realize that we can't be a True Life church unless we are made up of True Life Christ followers. The body can't be any stronger than the individual members. And so then that brings that spotlight to you to examine yourself. Are you a true life Christ follower? The body of believers can only accomplish together that which is in the heart and the soul of its individual's member. If it's not in our heart as individuals, it won't be in the heart of our ministry. Personally, I'm convinced God is the author of this thing that we call True Life Church. I've sat in a good seat this year to watch God leave his fingerprints on the lives of people, both within this church and outside the walls of this church, using various people in this church. You people have been used by God in many special ways. Now, for many of you, because you are God's servant, you did not seek headline opportunities for the things that you've done. So to many of you, the things that I've had the privilege of seeing are rather anonymous to the rest of you, are rather invisible to the rest of you, because they haven't been in your central focus and vision, because people have been doing them behind the scenes as they have given of themselves to others and reached out to others. From my perspective, the work of God through many of you has been intrinsically motivated for God's glory. Many times the person who has been blessed by the church has really been an individual in the church who has reached out to them through the church because God had laid the burden on an individual's heart. And because they didn't want the credit, they wanted God to have the credit, they ministered through our congregation or through this body. Let me be honest with you. I realize we aren't the Billy Graham movement that will touch millions of people. I know, too, when we compare ourselves to mega church status, we are dwarfed on some people's scale of importance as being a church. But I want you to know, I don't feel dwarfed by anything anyone else is doing, because we are here by God's calling. We are here as True Life Church because God caused it to happen. There are lives that are not spiritually the same today because True Life Church exists and ministers to people. There are people who are not spiritually the same because True Life Church exists in this small corner of the world, and God, by his own choosing, has chosen this body of believers to touch some lives that mega churches and Billy Grahams would never touch. And those lives mattered as much to God as any other life that is taught by any larger organization. We are part of the greater plan of God. We are part of the fingerprints of God in the lives of some particular individual that God has particularly called True Life to minister to. There are people who have had their families fed because of you. Their rent has been paid. They got their car fixed. They received a Bible. They were lifted up emotionally in their time of great despair. They were given a hand up in a time of crisis. They received a warm room on a cold night. They received a ride to the doctor. They had their driveway shoveled or their leaves raked. They received insight from some Bible lesson taught. They were touched by a sermon message preached. They were equipped for service because of a sermon held. Touched by a word of encouragement on a down day. Police officers who feel blessed by the family of God as they receive your prayer covering. People visited and prayed for during a hospital stay. A phone call that ended in prayer, as one of you were concerned about the individual you were talking with. Most of all, there have been people who have felt the love of God and truly cared for and prayed for by amazing, unselfish people who minister in the name of Jesus. These things don't show up on the statistical report, but they show up in the fruit of God, and Barclay agrees. So, though the question I answered for the Rocky Mountain District seemed to be an external measurement, an external scorecard, my greater question for all of us is, are we fulfilling the calling of making it real with God? Are we a true life church? Are we doing the right things for the right reason with the right heart? Remember back with me at the inception of True Life Church, we made a commitment on the front of your bulletin there from James 1:22. This was our focus. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. That was our commitment at the outset. This is what we chose as our internal matrix of evaluation as a church, corporate and individually, hearing the word of God and then trying our spirit-filled best to do his work for his glory. I'm grateful for the heart of ministry. That's why I chose that reading for today in our sound off. I am grateful for the heart of ministry that many of you exhibit. Christ's love and action, even when it is time-consuming, costly, inconvenient, frustrating, or strenuous, you stick with it because it's God's calling to get it done, and you are willing to get it done through his strength and power. Next week, I'm going to share with you a message that I shared with the church back in 2013. The reason I will share this lesson with you is because I believe it will help us come back to measuring our walk with God with a more intrinsic look, with a more intrinsic tool, rather than the to-do checkoff list that we so often use to measure the external without measuring the internal. If you are familiar with the words, the ATF of the Christian life, then you have a better memory than I do because I had to go back and look it up. I want for us to, at the end of the days of our lives upon this earth, to be able to know that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that when my ministry would be done here at True Life Church, that it would continue to bear fruit because it brought God's truth to the forefront of the lives of the people that fellowship here. And long after I'm dead, that the Word of God, which neither fades or goes away, will continue to bear its fruit in your life for his glory, for his kingdom, because it's his work. And he has called us to do it, doing the right thing for the right reason with the right heart. I invite you to continue on this type of journey of ministry at True Life Church. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful to you for your word, for your truth, for the many different ways in which you bring certain thoughts together throughout the week that can challenge and impact our hearts in a way that would cause us to seek out the sincerity of our heart for God. And I pray for your people here this morning, that, Lord, that it would be your spirit that bears witness with their spirit. We only want that which is truthful and reliable by you to penetrate our heart and our thinking and to penetrate the direction that we will go in our walk with you. And so I ask that as we take some time this week to reflect upon a true intrinsic matrix, to look at our lives and our walk with you, help us, Lord, to do exactly what 1 Corinthians 11 says, let a man examine himself. And let it be true of us that we will live the abundant life because we are walking in step with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.